Welcome, everybody, to the Mongols preview show brought to you by Roughneck Scarves. I'm Justin from Mongols, and joining me today is Amy Gavroyan from the Foxtrot podcast. Foxtrot covers Fresno FC. They do a great job and are a great addition to the BGN. Amy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. This is a blast.
Yeah, I'm super excited to kind of get into it. Before we kind of jump into what we're going to talk about tonight, one of our favorite former River Hounds, Taylor Washington, caught up with John Krasinski last night after the disappointing loss to Nashville SC. So let's take a listen to that, and then we'll come back with Amy here in a second.
Back to Pittsburgh, first time since last year. Obviously, let's just talk about the game for a little bit. I mean, you guys, both teams seem like real strong defensively. We're seeing you play a little bit on that outside winger spot. Is that a place where you kind of feel real comfortable in?
I do. I feel more comfortable there for sure. I think, the guys around me do an amazing job. The guys in the middle are fantastic at holding everything down, finding pockets and, doing their job. And our back line, like you said, is incredible. I think we held tight today. And, it's a tough field to play on. I've played here before. Yeah. And, that's not our – I think when you come here, you have to change your style of play, of course. So, we changed it a little bit. And, thank God we were able to come away with a win. I feel more comfortable up the field a little bit, have a little bit more freedom, learning the position still, but, lots more to grow up on.
Yeah, and Coach Lilly actually talked a little bit after the game where it seemed like you guys started to get into those gaps between their midfield and
their back line.
And I saw you coming up on some of those.
I think the first half, I think we were feeling the game out a little bit. Yeah. It's always a tough field to play on. And the second half felt more comfortable because, I think we knew the dimensions, we knew, sort of how they were lining up and everything. But, the goal was coming. So eventually it was able to go in. Brandon put it in. It was decent.
Yeah, and I will get to that in a second. I wanted to ask you about that little run-in with Toby there.
Toby's George Mason,
George Washington.
That's right. I love Toby. I just won the ball and I was trying to win it back. Right. And, I felt so bad afterwards, mm-hmm. And, I know so many of these guys on this team and, they're some of my closest friends, and this place in the city, special place in my heart, and it always will. So especially Toby, I love that dude. So I'm gonna laugh about it with him after, but made sure he was all right.
But, obviously you guys are obviously made a bit of a statement today. You beat Louisville. I mean, this team, where can this team go? I mean, where can you guys go?
I mean, our goal is to win the USL Championship, Gary has done an amazing job of assembling the team. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at our depth, you look at our starting 11, everything is, great. So I think we just have to, just keep battling, keep getting better, keep getting results, and, build upon each game.
Yeah, and just your overall impressions of the River Hounds this year and what they're putting forth here.
Sure. I think Coach Lilly has done an amazing job. He came in, rebranded everything, and, he did what he does at every program, he creates a system and he gets results, it's a blessing to see my old organization do great and, the guys enjoy it. So it's good.
And then finally, that you guys, a lot of hard work kind of paid off there. I mean, it was just one of those games where.
It was just back and forth. It was a battle, it's like a trench battle when you come here, it's not going to be the most beautiful soccer, you're not going to get the ball on the ground, but we were able to adjust our game and eventually find the back of the net, which is a blessing, thank God.
All right, well, good luck the rest of the way. I'm sure we'll see each other soon.
For sure. So good, John. Thanks.
All right, thanks, John, for catching up with Taylor. That's awesome. So today's preview show is going to look a little bit different. Mongols listeners know that we usually try to talk to someone with or from our opposing team that weekend. Unfortunately for this weekend, I was not able to get in contact with anyone from Richmond, but I love our BGN fam, so I reached out to Amy to see if she would join me. My goal with these episodes is just to expose you to some other soccer podcasts around the country and to get more information from around the league. So I love that Amy was willing to play along, and I hope both of us can learn something tonight and that it helps all of our listeners, whether you listen to Foxtrot or Mongols. So Amy, you ready to jump in?
Let's do it, man.
All right. So first of all, I feel like listening to Foxtrot, you've implied that you have a history playing soccer. So can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, it's hard to detangle soccer from my life. I've been playing it for many, many years. So since I was five.
Does that impact the way that you view the game? Because I didn't grow up playing soccer.
And oh, really?
Wasn't really a soccer player. Okay. I just fell in love with the game about 5 years ago and have just loved it. So does that impact the way that you see the game? Are you more critical? Do you feel like you're more critical, less critical because you played soccer?
I mean, first of all, like, that always blows my mind when people who didn't grow up playing soccer are fans of soccer. Cause, you know, growing up, friends are like, it's so boring or whatever. So, that always fascinates me that there's fans who didn't play. I love it. I don't know if it makes me more critical. I think it just makes me more jealous when I watch, you know, that thing when people are doing something that you love doing. I'm always like, you should have done this. Oh, actually, maybe that does make me more critical then. Yeah, because you're always like, you could have flicked it back, or you could have, you know, crossed it or one touch. So yeah, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
Man, maybe I'm critical.
listening to you, I don't think you're that critical, but I was just wondering if it is a thing that as you're watching the game, it's just a little more, it's different than just like a fan watching the game.
Maybe at times.
Okay. So let's start talking about Fresno just a little bit. What would you say the soccer culture is like, as mentioned on the podcast, like Fresno State? And you guys even talk about the U23s in Fresno and the Lady Foxes. So it seems like there's probably a pretty good soccer culture out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great soccer culture, and it's also just continuously growing. So like those U23s, prior to our Fresno FC team, we had Fresno Fuego. And so that's like the team that's transitioned to U23. So we had like a supporters group for them. And then also the Lady Foxes were with Fuego too. So we've spent these last few years supporting them, and now we just have more to support. So, but Fresno's pretty soccer, and Fresno FC is bringing it out in us. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Is your soccer culture like that, or?
Yeah, I think it's growing. I think Pennsylvania in general, I think, has a pretty good youth soccer kind of culture. And I think a lot of kids grow up playing soccer, but then there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people who go on to, big, you know, Christian Pulisic was Eastern side of PA, but like, I think there's a culture of soccer where a lot of kids play soccer early on. But I would say in Western PA, I think it's growing. I think the Riverhounds Academy and some of the other youth organizations around are growing it even more. We do have a PDL team, but I have not been to a game. And we do have a, not an NWSL team, but the other women's league. We do have a team in that league as well, but I haven't been. And the other thing is they're not associated with the Riverhounds at all. So it's kind of hard to like, you're kind of picking and choosing a little bit. So that's an interesting thing. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's growing, and I feel like it's been a good thing. And I feel like the Riverhounds are a good thing for our soccer culture. So
yeah, these USL teams are definitely bringing it out, I think, in those communities.
Sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. So yeah, this, talking about USL, this is your first year in USL with Fresno FC. What's your initial impressions of the league? How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it's just been super fun. You know, like I said, prior to this, the team that we were following, the PDL team, we didn't get this much exposure. So like more exposure for the players. You know, there's linkages to MSL teams. Like it's a whole new, USL is a whole new game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's still a lot we're learning about this conference, and, you know, we're doing okay this season. We're not doing terrible for our first year. But yeah, it's just been a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, I love the USL. I feel like I initially started following the Philadelphia Union when I got like into soccer, and then, you know, moved to Pittsburgh and just started. I feel like there's just so much passion, and It's just a fun league to watch. So yeah, it's been great.
Wait, can I ask you something? Can I ask you what did get you into soccer? What was it?
Yeah. So my wife grew up playing soccer, like played all the way through high school and stuff. And so when we started dating, it was just after her freshman year of college. And so she had three younger sisters who played soccer. And so like a lot of our early dates were like going to her sister's soccer games because we were poor college students and they were free. So, so I just like loved soccer from there.
That's cool. It's like embedded in your relationship too. Oops. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Are and no plan. Soccer. So, talking about your season so far, you have six draws, and as a Hounds fan, we have six draws. So I can relate to this pain. But as you see it, are those points left on the field? Are those like hard-earned draws?
I mean, it's even hard. It's hard just discussing that because like the draws are what 90 minutes, 90 plus minutes of no outcome. It's so painful, but you know, I feel like you guys probably feel like this too, but a lot of these ties felt like losses, especially because we were holding the lead, in a lot of them. So they, you know, I don't know. There's points left on that field. And I don't know. I don't know how you guys do it. How do you guys handle it as fans taking all these ties in?
Yeah, I think as the season gone on, it's been more frustrating, more and more frustrating. So, I mean, I think we're grateful because we've had a couple of bad years in USL. So now that we're actually like tying games rather than losing games, we've had this habit over the past 3 years of like giving up 85th minute goals to like lose or draw games. And so we haven't done that this year really until last night. So, I'm just glad that like, I'm just glad that we haven't done that this season. But I am a little bit now that we have six draws on the table. I'm like, that's, you know, that's 12 points that we've left out there. And so it's frustrating.
It's so frustrating. Wait, like, I don't know what you guys do after games, but, we usually, you know, celebrate at this brewery right across the street. Called Tioga, and after those draws we're just like moping around. It's like it's just so hard to pick your head up after that because there's no outcome. It's terrible.
Right. You'd rather win or lose, like it's just the thing.
I'd rather somebody win.
Yeah, and we were talking about it this week on the pod. They were talking, the guys that do our normal show were talking about it on the podcast this week, and like if you draw three games in a row, that's just like winning one and losing the other two. So like you might as well win one and lose the other two.
That's something like exciting in there. I know.
So
I know. I'm glad we can relate on that though.
Yes, we can.
They don't get it.
For sure. The teams that don't draw just don't understand this.
Yeah. It's so frustrating.
So you guys have an exciting matchup on Wednesday against LAFC in the Open Cup. So what's the feeling around that game?
Yeah, I mean, we're buzzing. I mean, any chance to play an MLS team is, I mean, that's just like amazing. And that's what this Open Cup's for, right? It's any American teams can enter. So, I mean, mostly we're just excited that we get to play at this level. It's something that we need. We need to, I don't know, we need that experience. We need a taste of that level and of that intensity. So, yeah, we're excited. LA is just, you know, maybe close to 4 hours away from us. So we're organizing this like bus to go down there as a supporters group. And that's the other exciting thing, right? Because LAFC is a new team as well. So all of us have been like wanting to see them play in general because it's a new California MLS team. So that's exciting too. And then the fact that our boys get to face them. Yeah, there's just a lot of excitement. Everybody's trying to get a day off of work.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And how was your guys' experience in the Open Cup? I know it's a little bit of a sore subject, but.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we were definitely disappointed to lose to Cincinnati. And I think like one of the things that we saw, I guess it was 3 years ago now, DC United had to come to Highmark to play us in Pittsburgh. And like we packed the place out. And we actually scored first in that game and ended up losing, I think, 3-1 or 4-1. But we had scored first in that game. So that just like hyped up the crowd way more.
Yeah.
And so that was like super exciting. So we were actually really hoping for another MLS team and having to come play us in Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. I guess I was a little bit more pleased at least this year, because last 2 years, like, we've gotten knocked out by amateur teams. So it was like nice to finally beat the amateur team that we played, right, to at least play another USL team. It is disappointing that we had to play Cincinnati, who's one of the top teams in the East, and couldn't play like somebody else who we could have
so
potentially
annoying,
beat.
Right? So, it's super annoying.
And yeah, and they had gotten taken to overtime the week before by their like PDL team or whoever they played.
I was like,
we have a chance, but then we capitulated that night and did not play well at all. So we don't get that chance. So I do remember what it's like playing DC United. And so I feel like that definitely provides a boon to your team to like get the chance to play an MLS team. It's disappointing that you guys don't get to do it on your home field. So hopefully once you guys get a stadium, like, you'll be able to do that on your home field. But still getting the promotion and getting that, like, we are playing an MLS team is like a huge boon to the city and to the team.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Like, if people haven't heard of Fresno FC yet, then this game against LAFC is going to do it. And It's just really exciting.
Yeah. So our listeners may or may not know this, but we have a BGN Slack channel for all the folks on all of our BGN podcasts. And there's been a lot of talk on there about Juan Pablo Caffa and a Slack bot who also talks about him. So so talk to me about Caffa. It seems like he's been a good player for you guys this year and what he's been to the team.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about like the heartbeat of our team. Kafa's just been kind of that steady enthusiasm for us. He's been out for the last few games, besides this most recent one with a sprained ankle. So we're happy to have him back. But I think with Fresno being a new team and then having Caffa and his experience, played in Spain and then in Argentina. And taking all of that experience to this new team. I don't know. He's just unmatched. And his enthusiasm, like if you're next to the field, not in the supporter section where it's too loud, but if you're just watching normally, all you hear on the field is Caffa. And then even if you can't hear, all you're seeing is Caffa and his passion. He's the first one to like run up to the, ref and like, not necessarily always arguing, but he's just like, what is this call? And besides that, he's also the one making plays. He's always in the mix. Mm-hmm. He's always in the mix. Mm. So he's Caffa. He's our God. That's what we call him.
Yeah. So if a Pittsburgh fan was going to watch him, what other players, besides him, what am I looking out for as far as players and even like tactical style of play, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, we have a really solid squad. So I could say something like really great about all of them. I think people to watch out for. The other guy who brings a lot of experience is Pedro Ribeiro. He's a forward. He's played at the MLS level too. So he, again, brings this experience of competition that is, you know, it kind of brings our team up a level. Like, they have to match him. And then we also have another forward, JJ is what we call him, Jamal Johnson. He's just quick, man. Like, touches, shots, flicks, mm-hmm. everything. He's just quick. And then also, you know, in the back we have, I think the one who stood out the most to me is Ramon Martin Del Campo. He's kind of our wall, per se. Mm-hmm. And then if he misses it, our goalie, Rainish, he's really proved. Our first two games, we were kind of like, I don't know about this guy. Because he let in... I don't know if you guys kept up with our stats, but he let in goals in the first 2 minutes. We were like, okay, something's got to change. But he's just proved to do an excellent keeping job back there. And then, like, tactical style, like our tactics, you know, I could say like, oh, we do the 4-4-2 or the, you know, whatever. But I like to stray away from that. I feel like it's more, I don't know. I feel like what we're doing is more of like driving balls to the middle. Mm. We use our flanks a lot. Like if you guys were to go to a Fresno FC game, our balls just are like on the left and the right all day long and then driven to the middle. Mm. So I think for us, our style of play should be, and what we're working on is all these one-time finishers in the box. So I don't know. How about, can I flip that back to you and say, or ask what a Fresno fan who we could look out for with the Pittsburgh team?
Yeah. So I'd give you a couple of players. I think, so you talk about a heartbeat, you talk about kind of the leader, the captain, you're looking at Kevin Kerr. I mean, he's a Scottish soccer player. So if that gives you any indication of what he could be, he's fiery on the field. He is a good crosser of the ball, is good with the ball at his feet. He is like, I feel like he is the leader of the team. He just provides a lot of that leadership on the field. I think other than that, our back line is pretty solid. We have Hugh Roberts, who was the defender of the year 2 years ago in USL. He's just tall and lanky and speedy. Toby Adewale is back there too. And kind of the same thing. He's tall and fast. So, like, there's just not much that goes over him, and there's not many players in MLS that he can catch up. Cristiano Francois is just kind of a freak of nature right now. He's a little bit raw as far as like ball skills, but he's almost faster than anybody I've ever seen live. Like, he just can get away from almost anybody. If he can put him on his back and then turn them and then go, they're not catching up. So, he's been fun to watch. He is just a little bit raw, boss skills wise. And there's a lot of other good players. The one that's been a surprise to us this year is Tommy Van Kiezel. He was the Division II college soccer player of the year last year, and then came out and didn't get drafted. And so got signed for us and has pretty much started every game. We were thinking he was just depth when we signed him, and he started every game for us so far, I think, almost. And the weird thing is he started at defensive mid and he started at attacking mid. So he's played almost every position in the middle of the field so far other than striker. And for some of the time, we've been wanting him to play there too. So it would be, yeah. So it's been a good season so far, and just good players all across the field.
Yeah. Can you talk to me a little bit about, is it Nico Brett or Neko Brett?
Yeah, Nico Brett. He's been Nico Brett. It's been a fun thing with him this year. We came in thinking Romeo Parks, who we had last year, was going to kind of be the starting striker. And then we had signed Dennis Chin, who spent a lot of time in Orlando before they moved to MLS. We thought that like they were kind of going to be our strike partnership. And then Dennis Chin came in a little bit unhealthy, and Romeo Parks had injured two games in. So Nico kind of got thrown into the mix right away. And earlier than I think we were all thinking, and then scored three goals against Toronto early on. And so I think there was like, yeah, he's been good. He should have scored for us last Saturday against Penn FC, and it got called offside.
Lame.
Yeah, it wasn't. So
lame.
Yeah, so we're still a little bit mad about that, but we should have scored like four other goals in that game too, so I'm not going to be too mad about it. But he just, whether he's starting or coming off the bench, he always just seems to be around goal and always seems to be able to put balls in the net. And so we've liked him. He's very patient in the box, is willing to take it from one foot to the other if he feels like that's going to be a better shot. And so I've been impressed with his play so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, even just like reading about you guys, I watched a video on him when he got like USL Player of the Week, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, he looks quick up there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, he is good.
So then back to, if I can go back to FC Cincinnati, just thinking about the Eastern Conference. Is FC Cincinnati becoming MLS, a part of the MLS league next year, going to affect this conference at all? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it definitely takes a good team out of our conference. I mean, that I think that however you want to look at that is like they've done enough to get to MLS, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it weakens the Eastern Conference a little bit as far as just good teams in this conference. So I think that might hurt the conference a little bit just as far as like good teams. Mm-hmm. But I think it gives everybody else just another shot. I guess I'm glad that they are going there. I'm not the biggest FC Cincinnati fan, and I can't.
So you're like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, whatever. I'm glad that they're moving up. Happy for them that they did what they needed to do to get there, but we'll see what happens when they get there. So I think it does just weaken the Eastern Conference a little bit.
Yeah. And then I do the Foxtrot podcast with two other guys, Ed and Chris Brown. And Chris also wanted to know what you think about having interconference games. Like, do you guys think that would be, I mean, just overall in general, that would look like, or if it would even be fun?
Yeah, no, I would love that, actually. Right? I think there's just like players that we don't ever get to see, who we hear about a lot, but we'll never get to see them play on the field.
Right.
You guys have the benefit of the times where you go to Phoenix, you might get to see Drogba play. Like, we'll never get that.
Fingers crossed. He didn't come to the last one.
Yeah, but well, it's probably bad for your team if he's on the field, but
yeah,
but it would be cool autographs to see him play. All in the
also field. Freddie Adu so, too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I forgot that he was around there somewhere. I would love that. I think, you know, we lose something like just the way the conferences are divided. Like we, you know, the Western Conference gained St. Louis this year and we kind of lost them. And then our striker from last year, Corey Herzog, went there, and we're only like 4 or 5 hours away from St. Louis. So it'd be fun to like play them still. But we don't even get a chance to play them because they're in the other conference. I do think the travel would be hard. You know, if we had to go to Vancouver or Seattle or, you know, wherever, I think that would make, but I feel like that's not that much different than Pittsburgh going to Orlando or Tampa or wherever to play somebody on the other side of the Eastern Seaboard. So maybe it wouldn't make that much of a difference, but it would be fun to see some of these teams that we don't ever get to see.
Yeah, it'd be fun, a fun like preseason thing too.
Yeah, for sure.
Just like a few friendly matches, because I know we've been doing friendly matches with some PDL teams and stuff. But like you said, we'll never see you guys or the Eastern Conference. So that would be a blast.
Listen, championship game, all right? Championship.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's get there. Both of our teams.
Okay.
Okay. So speaking about all the different USL teams, Eastern, Western, who's your soccer crush, your man crush, favorite USL player?
This is the weirdest question I've ever been asked on one of these preview shows.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
No,
we have to make it
weird. No, I've got two. I've got two that I thought about today after I saw you put this question on the agenda. One is the guy that we talked to at the beginning, Taylor Washington. He was a good friend of mine. I got to meet him a couple times last year and got to hang out with him a little bit, even outside soccer last year in Pittsburgh. It just a good dude. And sad that he is no longer in Pittsburgh, but enjoy him. And the other actually is Drogba. I like about him that, like, when he first came to USL, I was like, this is so dumb. He buys a team and then wants to play for them or whatever. But like what he's done this year, like he plays every three games and then when he plays, he scores. Like it's just like that's so ridiculous that he can only like he doesn't even play all the time and then he just like plays and it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna score, you know.
Yeah. Let me just like entertain them a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'll throw a goal in there.
Yeah, exactly.
No big deal.
So I still don't necessarily like him as a person and don't even really like I'm a Tottenham fan, so the fact that he played for Chelsea, I'm just like, ugh.
Tottenham, huh? All right.
But like what he's done in USL this year is just kind of fun. So
I know it is fun. You can't hate him for something like that.
No, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So talking about our games this weekend, Riverhounds game is this Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern time in Richmond against the Kickers. Fresno FC game, you guys have a home game, which I guess is at 10 p.m. Eastern, and then you guys are playing Sounders 2. So let me just ask you real quickly, if somebody from our team decides to watch the Riverhounds game away and then leaves the ESPN Plus on for a little while longer and you are going to win against Sounders, what are the keys to the game? And then what maybe is your score prediction for that game?
Yeah. You know what? I think all we need to – so we've faced them before away, right? Yeah, we finished with a 1-0. And against them, I mean, we had a lot of opportunities, so did they. So it's like a kind of like a lucky – that was a lucky win. Not that we didn't work hard, but just both teams had a bunch of chances to put one in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we just need to be – one thing that I saw a difference in that game was that we were hustling with our offense. Mm-hmm. So I think in order to win at home against them, we've got to hustle up there. That's got to be like our, you know, we just have to have one, win all of those 50-50s, be first to the ball in the middle. Like I said, our flanks just drive the ball in. So we just got to be on it. In our last one, it was a cross, and our forward, JJ, got it in with the header. So just stuff like that on the beat. And then, you know, we got to tighten up our defense, our back line. Not that we're off step, we just get a little confused back there sometimes. So, got to tighten that up. And I think I'm going to say for a score prediction, I'm going to say 2-0. I think we can double that at home. Again, last one was 1-0, so I'm hoping we can get that 2-0 win.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about for you guys? What are the keys to the Hounds beating the Kickers this weekend? And / what would be your score prediction?
Yeah. I mean, I hope that we come out a little ticked off, you know, I think not in a bad way, but like, I hope that drives us. I feel like we've just had a bad four games or so. We have struggled scoring. We've struggled defense. We've struggled a little bit of everything. You know, the game against Cincinnati was not good. And then the game against Penn FC this past weekend was not good. And then the game last night was not good. And so just there was a lot of just kind of missteps and a lot of things that I saw kind of fall apart. And that might be because we're in the middle of a busy stretch of the season, have played a lot of games this month. And so maybe that's a little bit of that. But I hope that maybe just after finally losing the game, that kind of relieves the pressure on us of like, we got to keep the unbeaten streak going. And I hope that kind of relieves that and we can kind of just go play and go play to win. And so I think that that will motivate them. I don't think Bob Lilly is going to be very happy with losing a game. He doesn't lose games often. And so I think he will have the guys ready to go. So I'm actually going to say your scoreline. I think I'm going to 2-0 Hounds. I think we go down to Richmond, get a win. Richmond hasn't been great this season. And I just hope we do. You know, I hope we can get back to not letting goals in the net and maybe putting a few away.
Yeah, right? We can
still. Thanks to Amy G for joining us today. Amy, you got some socials you want to plug?
Yeah, sure. You can follow us on Twitter at Foxtrot Pod. We're also on Facebook and Instagram too. So give us a follow. And we'll follow you back too.
Yeah, so please go check out the rest of our BGN fam. I don't listen to too many podcasts every week. I'm not a podcast guy. But you guys, the Foxtrot Pod is one I try to keep up with, the way you guys talk about your team. I love it. And just the way you talk about the U23s and the Lady Foxes and kind of keep up with soccer all over your area. I think that's such a cool thing. So I've enjoyed listening to your podcast this year. Appreciate what you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us today too and reaching out.
Yeah, it's absolutely been a blast. So,
yeah, it's been fun.
Can't forget our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review, tell us how you think we're wrong or right or whatever. So let us know. But thanks for joining us today. See you soon.
Thanks so much.